books here again. The yeah, I want to just go through some of the, just to finish up the issue of Chevrei Kehalal. That's our job today. If we can, we'll try to start the next part. But again, go through the, you know, the Makoros that we discuss, and also just start moving through the, even though we're going to go back and forth, but the Shaka Vitarya Tila by Vavam Dalek. We start with Gimel and Beis, but, you know, if you just, you'll see through the discussion of the you know, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and especially the Kiddushi Agriz, that it's all connected, and, you know, we're going to have to, you know, keep going back and forth, basically. And not only that, I'll have to, you know, some sugars and cakes on a regal, but, you know, we'll try to do it in a way that we can move forward and not just get stuck, you know, in one place and do it all, you know. But so it'll be a work in progress how we, but at least in framing the question, the more you see in terms of the Shaka Vitarya, just to get an awareness about the, you know, or an impression about the relationship between, you know, the different, I guess, formulations of what defines the Avos Nezikin and some of the consequences, you know. So that, I don't think we'll get that today. I'm pretty sure we're not. But hopefully, you know, we'll start with that Sunday. But for today, we still have what we began Tuesday, and that is Cheruv Kehalal, which is A, like a little opportunity to discuss it, which doesn't come up that often. But B, also again, as a paradigm of you know, where you have like a halachic structure of halachic hierarchy, we'll call it. You know, again, of avos and toldos of different types, which we have, of course, and we're going to be discussing all year in terms of the Nezikin, and which we discussed for a week, you know, with regard to Shabbos. So, again, it just, it highlights a lot. And, of course, the whole Taros really has to be looked at, you know, in that very hierarchical, you know, kind of a way. So this is one very important, somewhat extreme application. But whatever we're saying here actually has, as we already talked last time, has, you know, at least structural, I would say benefits, but structural parallels, you know, to how to look at these Taharos questions generally. Again, we already talked about the relationship between Avos of Taharos to each other, and the comment of the Hagdam of Haigon, courtesy of Moshe. And, you know, the same kind of questions of, you know, the models of Toldos and the whole hierarchical structure is relevant. So having said that, so let's zero in on now on the specifics of Cheruv Kehalal, which we started with. You can see it's just a massive topic. It has, you know, all sorts of, you know, subcategories. And, you know, just like we were talking with Shabbos, whenever you have subcategories, you know, it's more difficult to pin down. It's more exciting, but it's more difficult to pin down because, you know, it's hard to know, and there isn't a single answer to this question either. It's not just hard to know. The relationship between, you know, the overlapping questions and the specific questions. So that, what I mean by that is, right, if we're talking about the question of applying Cheruv Hareu Kehalal, right, across different issues, and we're going to touch again. We started the last time. I want to read some of the Rishonim inside, also just to show you the language, you know, how they deal with it, you know, the impact of taking one position on neutralizing other sources, or, you know, by, you know, being begala other sources. So we're talking about basically is Cheruv Kehalal. I mean, on the one hand, it starts off with you know, the phenomenon, you know, Cheruv Kehalal seems to be something that is that defies the normal hierarchy in Tumah Vatarah. Typically in Tumah Vatarah, again, that's the whole point, is that there's a pyramid. And, you know, Cheruv Kehalal is something which, that's the Chiddush. It seems to, you know, contradict, you know, the pyramid. It seems to say that you can stay in the same, you can have superconduct or the effect that looks like a clone or superconductivity where you don't lose, you know, in the status of the, you know, spiritual contamination or the tumma, whatever you want to call it. So already it's intriguing because it seems like, you know, it defies, you know, the whole, again, there are other examples of this, but this is maybe the most, you know, most blatant one. That's number one. Then, of course, you have the Chafa Dimyon, right, Cheruv Kehalal. And every time you have a chafadimyon, this is the question, how kir is it, you know, you could say. And then, you know, when you start looking around and thinking about it, you know, because this is in the area of Tumas Meis, you know, which is, you know, the Avi Avos Meis is an Avi Avos HaTumah, and, you know, you could make hashkafically, you know, the case that all of Tumah really is about, you know, decay and Misa, you know, and so on. So the fact that, you know, Meis is Avi Avos HaTumah, and Tumas Meis, you know, plays such a special role, and we have certain... Again, chumras that, you know, are associated with Tumas Meis more than anything else. And here's where you have this Cherev Chalal, and it's all over the place in terms of the Nafkamina. So all this, you know, becomes more and more, you know, complicated, you know. So again, once you know that there are not just one Nafkamina, two Nafkamina, what we're discussing in Cherev Chalal, and we're going to try to finish it today, is, you know, its impact on Giluach Nazir. Right? Again, we'll go through each one, but first I want to read some of the Lashonis of the Rishonim. You have Giluach Nazir, you have Hazos, Gimel, Vizayin, the things that we identified last time, but I just want to make a point on it for a minute. Bias, Mikdash, and Achilas, Kudshim. Right? That's a third one. In all these cases, you know, Meis and Tumas Meis are Kobe. What about Cherev Kechalo? The Iser, Emar, you know, Lakon and Bnei Aron, Lenefesh, Lo Yitameh, you know, be'amav, so the azhara of tumas meis for kohanim, that's a fourth, right? You know, the question of what about tumas ohel, like a special din in tumas meis, does that apply to cherev kechalo? What about masa, right? Does that apply to cherev kechalo? Is it an example of, you know, kiyotze bo? All of these are, you know, I've just identified 6, 7, 8 questions. You know, what makes everything more complicated once you're dealing with so many applications is to figure out how much of all of this is just about or primarily about the, you know, how literally we take and how conceptually we model Cherev Hareu Kechalo, and how much of it is also about, A, the interconnection between, you know, the different applications themselves, and B, which is just a function of that, you know, if there's more than one criterion, you know, that is possible, like what depends on what, right? So in terms of the, for example, just the, you know, the interrelations themselves. So again, we have this Mishnah in Nazir, you know, which seems to say that Giluach Nazir is Koveya, you know, for Bias Mikdash, right? And we have a you know, a Brisa Masachet Smachos, Tosefta, you know, that says that Azharas Kohanim, you know, is connected to Giluach Nazir. Okay, part of the debates in Rishonim is how literally do we actually hold that way, right? Or is that, you know, have a different meaning, or is there a machlokas about that, right? What about the relationship between Gimel, you know, Vizhazaras Gimel Vizayin? Let's say and Giluach Nazir, right? So you have again, you have two Mishnayos in Nazir, as we noted, right? One, if you read the Mishnayos Kipshuto, certainly demonstrates that there are cases where there's no Giluach Nazir, and yet there's Hazas Gimel Vazayin, right? So like the second Mishnah seems to be cases where there's no Giluach Nazir and yet there is Hazaz Gimel Vazayin. So obviously they're not, you know, necessarily, you know, bound together. On the other hand, as we'll see with regard to Cherev Kechalo, since the Gemara says that the Kalim case in that Mishnah doesn't have Gimel Vazayin, right? So, you know, it's not an absolute equation between Gimel Vazayin and Giluach Nazir, but obviously, you know, it's a little more complicated than that. You know, the question of relationships, you know, becomes a very important issue. And, of course, like I say, underlying that question, if indeed there are different dinim of Tumas Meis, you know, and sometimes, you know, the impact is Giluach Nazir, and, you know, sometimes not, or other distinctions, or if there are three or four, you know, categories. So what that means is that we have to figure out, like, what's really happening. Because if it had been an all or nothing, you know, situation. You know, either you have something that qualifies doraisa as tumas neis, in which case, you know, everything that applies to all the chidushim and all the dinim of tumas neis, you know, apply consistently, you know, or not, and everything, you know, through rabbanan or other things, that would be, you know, one thing. But if it isn't just a breakdown of doraisa and rabbana, but there are doraisa tumas neis, right, that apply to one aspect and not the other. You know, so, and maybe there isn't just two categories, there are, three or more. So then you just have to, like, step back and think, like, what is really happening, you know, in this area. Again, you could say, you know, technically, you know, that, you know, Xeris HaKasuv solves some of your problems. Again, we, you know, always prefer that Xeris HaKasuv be explainable, even if it is Xeris HaKasuv. In other words, something may not be obvious in Misvara, and we only know it because of the Gili Milsa, and it still usually, you know, reflects, you know, some sort of different character. Not always. Sometimes it's just an exception, or there's some other unfathomable reason that it's an exception, and, you know, doesn't necessarily characterize things differently. But typically, if it isn't just Xeris HaKasuv, and even if it is, we would want to understand what the structures in place are here. So, for example, when it comes to Tumas Meis, right, there are some very, you know, compelling, you know, distinctions, you know, to make, you know, right at the outset, and then, you know, as you move towards the middle and away from the extremes, right, it becomes much more subtle. And the reason I'm just mentioning this is because that it's relevant to how we understand Cherov Kachalal, obviously, but you know, in other cases as well. So, for example, one distinction that seems like very compelling, you know, is to differentiate between the chefza shel meis, let's say, and the idea of tumas meis. Okay, I would say in the extremes, and this again, this question that I'm discussing now has a lot to do with, again, the broader hierarchy of tumah v'tahara too. I mean, in terms of models. So again, on one extreme, like tumas meis, you know, one category in tumas meis is going to be the meis itself, right? The chefta shel meis, we'll say. And you know, some of the makoros, and especially some of the rishonim, emphasizes that in some, you know, applications, the Ramban focuses on this, and the Rambam focuses on this, and some of the psukim, you know, speak about tumas meis, and some of them speak about the meis, you know, being mistame by touching the meis. So the idea that there's a chefza shel meis, you know, which limits certain dinim, and certain dinim depend on that, you know, is, I think, something that some Rishonim, you know, just deny. But it's something that another group of Rishonim, you know, the Rambam, the Ramban, and so on, embrace. So chefza shel, even in chefza shel meis, what is chefza shel meis? Like, you know, where you draw the line. So do you have to have, for example, you know, one would think that for chefza shel meis, we might have to redefine this, that you need, you know, actually the meis, as we all understand it. But even then, there are a few questions to ask before we even rethink that, and that is, you know, for example, questions about parts, components of the meis, body parts, whatever you want to call it, you know, of the meis, you know, take on like a bit of a new meaning, you know, in light of that. Like, you know, let's say you have something that was part of the, like a dismembered, you know, a limb of the mace. How much dam, how much, you know, a varim, how much of the skeleton. I don't want to get graphic here, you know, but as you know, that's a big issue in tumas mace. Like, what are, you know, how much dam and how much basar, you know, and what about the decayed basar, you know, what is its status? All these kind of questions are technical questions on one hand, but if you're talking about chefza shel meis, like how much, you know, things that actually came and were part of the living, you know, being. What about things that come from the living being but decompose and take on a new state right now? Okay. Or things that are seemingly the same state they were before, except part of a live, you know, body and now part of a corpse. Well, let's say the transition isn't that great, but how much of a corpse, you know, quantitatively and qualitatively, do you need to be considered to be, you know, a chefza shel meis? Right. So that's one kind of question. That will explain, I'm kind of going in two opposite directions, but in the same question. That'll explain how things can come from the mace, let's say even before you talk about the status of decomposed parts, right? And yet not necessarily qualify for some of the dinim of tumas mace. The question is, can you ever even go beyond that? Can you say that, you know, you need chefs shel meis, you know, but there can be things that aren't really part of the etzem hameis, you know, the actual, you know, meis itself. So, for example, a person who's in contact, you know, with the abia vos atumba, with the meis, you know, is there some element of chefs shel meis there by virtue of that, you know, contact? And, of course, you know, can you in any way speak about Chefza shel meis, you know, when it comes to Cherev Kachal? Now, the people who don't want to make this distinction anywhere, is it because they think that Chefza shel meis is always irrelevant to all of these halachos, and it's all about Tumas meis, the category of Tumas meis, right? Or is it because they think that, you know, even Etzem HaMeis, just like they might think that physical parts of the meis are not legally Chefza shel meis, is it possible that they think that things that were not part of the walking, breathing, you know, human being, you know, can become or can have the status of Chefza shel meis? Do you ruin Chefza shel meis by talking about it in legal and status terms as well? I think mostly the answer is yes, but that kind of inspires us to think that maybe, you know, Chefza shel meis, you know, even if you don't speak of Chefza shel meis itself, you know, that there are still other categories, you know, to identify. So, for example, in the exact opposite direction, you know, in Tumah, as we discussed the other day, you could say, well, forget about Chefza shel meis, what about Tumas meis, right? There could be Tumas meis, you know, of different madregos, too. So the other extreme, what we're saying is that there's a chalos of things that happen to be in contact with a body or with other intense contacts, you know, that originated from the body, right, that are in the broad rubric of tumas meis. Okay, not because, and the other extreme would say, based on what we talked about the other day, that it's not even that, oh, this is your second level or third level contact with the meis. It's that in the other extreme, the mace generates, you know, a status called, you know, tmei mace, and that in turn has the ability, you know, to create categories. But it's still a very high level of tuma associated with mace. That's a chalos, you know, of tumas mace, you know, without there being any shemetz of a concept of like even a second level contact with the mace and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's one level. Again, ironically or not ironically, like the Rambam, you know, and a little bit the Ramban, you know, who are, I think, very sensitive to Chefza shel meis, you know, are also, in Cherev Kechalal at least, you know, very comfortable with even going in the opposite extreme, and even saying that Cherev Harei Kechalal isn't so literal either. It just means it's Shaveh Lemeis. You know, and that the language, again, I'm not talking about every single formulation, we have to see in the balance, as opposed to saying, like, hanogeya becherev ki'ilu hu nogeya b'meis. Or they mean that in a shava, you know, in a level. Like, if you look at the Tosefta and Taharos, you know, which the Rambam and the Ramban both liked very much, and which the Bali Tosis pretty much didn't want to hear about, right? So not only do you have, you know, a good source for distinguishing between Giluach HaNazir and Bias Mikdash, you know, on the one hand, you know, and Cherev, you know, vis-a-vis Cherev Kechalal, but you even have the opposite formulation. Not only do these things, you know, not apply to Cherev Kechalal, but you could get the impression that Cherev Kechalal is just about, you know, the official, you know, stature, right, of the level of the Tumah. That's Legabe, Truma, and Kachim, and Legabe, you know, being Metame, Adam, and Kalim, and so on. So there's a din of Cherev Kechalal. Right? That doesn't even mean that Kama Hanogea Becherev, I wouldn't use the expression for that, Hanogea Becherev Hareu Kenogea Beneis. Okay? Unless I meant it in a much broader way. Right? What I would say is, you know, that Tumas Meis is such a powerful, you know, spiritual entity, right, that even the outlying, even the things that are acknowledged to be, you know, removed, you know, somewhat from the mace, right? But that, you know, Hishtal Shalut, that, you know, development still, you know, maintains, you know, a certain legal status or legal stature, you know, of Tumas Meis, of a kind of a Tumas Meis, which has consequences, right? In between those two extremes, like saying there's something called Atzmo Shomeis, right? And then there's something else called the Madregos, let's say, you know, of Legabe Truman Kanchim, let's say, of Tumas Meis, are a couple of other things to say. So one is what we talked about, you know, the superconductivity or clone thing, which is this isn't just, you know, about the chalos of this Madrega. In some respect, there's like this idea that, you know, Cherev Kachalol is able to do something that almost nothing else can do, and that is retain, you know, fully the level of Tumas Meis. But you could say that on the level of Tumas Meis without it having any impact whatsoever, you know, having to do with Chefza Shel Meis, right? It might have to do with Chefza Shel Tumas Meis. Okay, that's different than Chefza Shel Meis, and it's different than just saying that there's Tumas Meis. I'll explain in a second. But the point is that that's one thing to think about, and do we have that anywhere else in the world of Tuma, like Cherev Kachalol in that kind of way? If you think that that is part of the characteristic of what's going on in Cherev Kachalol, you know, you might also want to think, you know, in addition to being very singular, about the question of, you know, whether the two Cherev Kachalol, whether Cherev Kachalol and V'chibastem, you know, aren't just the same thing, and one being an expansion of the other. Because it's all about the kind of this limited, but still superconductivity, right? You know, you don't have to lose in the you know, in the tumma, transitivity, I guess, to the, or conductivity, but doesn't mean it's chafta shel meis, right? And it doesn't mean, and it just means in terms of, it, but it might mean that you are able to kind of achieve, you know, the chafta of tumas meis or not. We're not really sure. Is it a madrega thing? Like it's a rishon, it's an av, it's a, you know, aviavos, you know, in that sense, or there's something more to it. Another thing you might want to say, though, is that Cherev Kachalol, you know, doesn't just mean the Madrega in the Rambam, you know, and Tosefta Taharo sense, and it doesn't only mean, or maybe it doesn't mean, you know, superconductivity of the level, or maybe even of the Cheftz of Tumas Meis. Maybe what is singular about Cherev Kachalol is that it is considered to be, although not contact with the meis, right? Contact, a kind of a dimension of contact with the meis. Okay? By which I mean, going back to what I said the other day, which is that when you go from one level to the other in Tahara, so there are two extreme ways to look at it, and it also might be very nuanced somewhere in between. Right? One way is to say that, you know, Madrega 1 creates an identity of, you know, 2. You know, it now has a certain status. No one is saying that you're contacting the disease, the toxic tumma. What we're saying is the toxic tumma, you know, creates its own status. That's also something. And now it, you know, has its own consequences and so on. That's one way to look at it. You may even say about that, that's an open question, that, you know, at some points it becomes generic. It becomes the level rather than the source, right? Another way to say is that you are, you know, you're. It's not a direct connection with the source; it's an indirect connection. But the mechayev is still the source. It's not only mugdar, you know, as a chalos connected still to the source, but it is a way of contacting. You didn't, you know, touch the virus, chalila, you know, the toxic virus. But you had a diluted or an attenuated contact with it, you know, agav something else. It's a contact agav. That's different than saying that, you know, the toxic virus, you know, creates a new virus. Of course, one which is weaker, but which is also different, and which maybe even at some point, you know, becomes more generic or becomes a different shape, right? So is it possible that Cherev Kachalol, even if it isn't Atzmo Shel Meis, which is very hard to say, is either Nogea B'Meis, right? Because Chafza Shel Tumas Meis, if not Etzema Meis, can be, you know, retained there. That's a Chiddush. It, you know, keeps not only the charge, but maybe even something of the Chefza Shel Tumah, if not the Chefza Shel Neis. That's one possibility. Or of saying what I just said now, and is that is that unlike other Tumahs, here you have to, you know, assume that other Tumahs don't usually work this way. Unlike other Tumahs, which are pure Chaloses, you know, here this is a secondary contact with the Neis, but the fact that it is what catapults it. It what gives it more intensity. Okay? If you say that, you know, then, you know, then we understand what we mean a little more by Cherev Kachal. It isn't just, you know, the Madrega or even the Chefza Shel Tumah. It's a secondary contact with the Meis, with the Chefza Shel Meis, right? Although it isn't itself the embodiment, it isn't the Chefza Shel Meis. Okay? These are very loaded, you know, terms that I'm using here. And the difference between them is pretty subtle. So I'm just going to stop for a second and, you know, take questions if there are any. But the reason that we're motivated, right, to come up with these structures is in order to, number one, I think objectively they're interesting, possible, they're possible, and we have to think about them. But what I guess confirms that, you know, what we're doing isn't simply some abstract exercise, you know, but really just grappling with the true authentic nature of this din and its application is because we're trying to navigate multiple makoros and evidence. That's how does the Torah speak about Tumas Meis in the various... I'm not going to do this now because it would take us too far afield. I want to finish this today, pretty much. But, you know, well, how does the Torah use the... You know, how does it identify Tumas Meis in the different contexts? And can there be, you know, more than one, you know, case or category of Tumas Meis, and even more than two, and maybe even more than three. If the answer, if the Torah treats it differently, formulation-wise, and especially din-wise, then we need really to develop vocabulary, you know, which corresponds to subtle but real concepts, right, to explain more accurately, you know, what is happening. So when the Rambam, for example, in Pirush Mishnayos, and the Ramban and others, when they talk about, you know, the language of the Torah, you know, in certain contexts, of the Psukim in Chukas, you know, some of them really seem to be speaking about the Meis, not Tumas Meis. You know, again, the distinctions that we're talking about, they're doing this. And if we're going to say that, you know, Cherev's Kechalol, you know, for... you know, for half of the dinim and not for the other half, or we're going to say, you know, that there are three categories, right? So then we need to explain, you know, how this could be. And these are models, you know, both to be sensitive to in the Lashonus of Rishonim, if they can do it, if they can say it that way, if they do say it that way. They're definitely struggling with it. We'll see in a moment. But again, especially to break up and to understand more consistently. Now, again, to get a bigger, fuller picture, in addition to like having other paradigms from other avatumas, like Zav and Mishkav Azav and things like that in a few other cases, that would be really helpful. We're not going to do that now at all. But just, you know, making, even within the world of Tumas Meis, you have to make charts again. Because, you know, there are other cases, too. There are some other, there's a Mishnah Nazir, two Mishnayos, you know, some of which are Meis Megaleach and some are not. Right? And some of them seem to be Me'atz Moshel Meis. I tried to explain why that could be. Right? So, there are different evidence about, you know, which dinim of Tumas Meis generally apply to Ohel and which don't, and which apply to Masa, you know, and which don't. And other, you know, examples of things where we have to figure out what about Tumas, you know, Kohanim, and what about Bias Mikdash, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's not enough, you know, just to make the charts and figure out Cherev Kechalol. You need to be able to kind of test these conclusions against other, you know, multidimensional, you know, applications of Tumas Meis. Okay? So that's methodologically all I'm going to say about it. I'm done. But I'll take the questions on that. And then I want to just go in specifically to read some of the Lashonos of Rishonim just to see and then just to identify, you know, what we really have. Okay? So that's an approach, basically, or what it is that we're doing, why it is that we're doing what we're doing. Okay? Good? We're good? No questions? Okay, Shua has a question.
It's not just a clarification, but could Rabbi explain what the difference is between Tumas Meis and Chatzos Shel Tumas Meis?
By Chatzos Shel Tumas Meis, I mean, even if you can't... it's hard for me to believe that anybody can really think that, you know, Cherev Kakalo, you know, captures Atzmo Shel Meis. Okay. The reason I'm even mentioning it... Where's Moshe? Why is the reason I'm even mentioning it? Because of the Yireim. So Moshe pointed out to me yesterday that the Yireim has a particularly extreme language and view, like in the way that he formulates things. So, and I thought, you know, looking at it again, that it was worth, you know, everybody looking at it. I think it's a great piece. So in a way, the Yireim, we'll see in a minute, we're going to read the language inside. In a way, the Yireim kind of, you know, acknowledges, you know, that certain dinim should depend on Atzmo Shel Meis or Chatzo Shel Meis, and then he says, but it's Exeris HaKasuv, you know, Cherev Kakalo works. Okay, so you know, that I find that very, you know, next to impossible. What does that really mean? Okay, so I'm looking for something, you know, that isn't quite Chatzo Shel Meis, but it's pretty close to it. And I'm basically suggesting, you know, two approaches. One is to say that, you know, there's something called not Chatzo Shel Meis, but Chatzo Shel Tumas Meis, meaning like the full intensity of that Tumas Meis, not just something which is generated by but still retains a very high status or stature, you know, as a result of having been in contact with the Tumas Meis. So given... superconductivity, I guess, is a model. And, or, let me say this, Tuma b'chiburin, like, for example, we find that the Ravid and, you know, some of the Rishonim, when they talk about, you know, the whole exchange between the Rash and the Rimi Simpont, right, some of the evidence that seems to say Cherev Kecholo in a very, you know, dramatic way, in a very intense way, so they say, no, that's a case where, you know, it's b'chibur, you're holding on to the Kli, which is holding on to the Mace. So, to me, if you're holding on to the Kli, which is holding on to the Mace, you're still not holding on to Chatzos Shel, Atzmo Shel Meis. But the full intensity of the Tumas Mace, that Etzem HaMeis has, is something that maybe you can be still in contact with. Now, I'm not saying that Cherev Kecholo, like the Ravid's view in, what do you call it, is Dafka B'chiburin. I think that's a very radical view. Right? What I mean is, that maybe it doesn't need to be b'chiburin. The, you know, it's like the invisible sparks, you know, are still there. You know, whether it's the... So that's what I mean, that as opposed to saying, you know, the chalos idea or the secondary, negia b'meis idea, which is that you're not touching the meis, but you're touching the meis agav, the kli that touched it, as opposed to saying you're touching something that touched the meis. Right. That's a very subtle difference, but it's a difference. So that's what I mean by it. Whether it's through superconductivity or through kind of an invisible chibur or the effect of a chibur. I don't mean that it's mechubar, but just like if it's mechubar, you're not touching the mace, but you're touching the thing that's touching the mace. Maybe somehow, like that moment is captured, you know, and remains, you know, in the DNA of the, you know, the Cherev Kecholo. So, you know, still at that moment, every time you touch it, you're at that moment, you know, when the Cherev is al pidin looked at as being mechubar lemeis. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I mean. Unless, or the other alternative, you know, for the Yireim, and we'll read it inside a second, is to say what I said, he doesn't really mean that. What he means is you have to, the mechayev of contact with the mace, which maybe isn't typically what happens, you know, in other tumos, that's the chiddush of Cherev Kecholo. In other words, other things are a chalos created by the past moment of, you know, and now a new reality created by it. You know, it touched the mace. And the mace created, you know, this avatoma, right? And in Cherev Kecholo, what happens is, you know, the tuma, right, touched the cherev. And when you touch the cherev, it's like, you know, It's an agav. It's a second level touching of the mace. In that sense, it's still your mitzuruf to Atzmo Shel Meis. Not that the cherev itself is Atzmo Shel Meis. Okay, good. Okay. Now, having said all that abstract stuff, so let's go and just look very quickly at the range. So, if you ask me, the range here of cherev kecholo and everything, you know, that both the objective defiance of the hierarchy, the kit, and the evidence. So I would say, in addition to the more outlying things which we'll talk about very quickly, the Ravid and the Rebbeinu Hananel, which I didn't give you to look at, but cool and things like that. I'll probably touch on this, mention it very quickly before we move on. There's a lot more to talk about. I would say that, you know, in the extremes, you already talked about this, the Bali Tosas are very, very wedded to the notion, you know, of a very strong Chafatim, Cherev HaRekachal. And that mostly Rabbeinu Tam, right, the impact that he had on Bali Tosas is that, you know, the default is that Cherev Kachal applies to and for everything. Okay? And we'll see it inside. I just want to read some of the Rishonim inside right now. How they read Makoros based on that and the conclusions that they reach in terms of the Nafkaminas. Right? In other words, Giluach Nazir, right? Hazaz Gimel Vazayin, Ohel, Azharas Kohanim. Azharas Kohanim is a little bit trickier, maybe. They take a very, very extreme view. Of those, I would say that's what we have to thank Moshe. The Uraim is particularly very extreme in his language, too. And it's the piece in the Uraim is a great example of a person who has come to a certain conclusion, you know, and conviction based on other things. You know, it could be based on glow. I'm not criticizing Khalil, it's a phenomenon. And in light of that, he can just, you know, how does he read the contrary evidence? The answer is he reads it, you know, very defiantly and very forcefully. Like, you know, things are not in, you know, it should be in this Mishnah, it's not there, because it's pashut. It's so obvious that it doesn't need to be there. Right? Things like that. But the Uraim does take the example I gave a second ago when I was answering Shua, isn't a great example. Like, if he's willing to acknowledge that there's something called Chefza Shalatzim or Shalmeis, you know, how's he going to apply that to Cherev Kachalal? The answer is, you know, by jumping in with both feet. You know. Now we need to understand what he means by it. But that's an example. But the Bali Tosas in general, their temperament in all of this is on the side of a strong Cherev Kachal. Okay? Is that because they mostly don't believe in Chefza Shel Atzmo Shalmeis? You know, or they think it's very, very limited? You know, or they think, again, that there is such a thing, but it isn't Atzmo Shalmeis. It's one of the two things I just tried to describe to Shua. That I'm not sure. In the other extreme, you have, you know, again, some Rishonim like the Ravid and the Yad HaChazak and others who deny Cherev Kachalo practically completely. Right? It's only Bechiburin and so on. But let's say, that's, you know, a little bit out of the mainstream. We'll get to that. But in the mainstream, more mainstream world, I would say that the Rimi Simpont and the Rambam, you know, and the Ramban is kind of a little more ambivalent in the middle, you know, are the view that Cherev Kachalal, you know, is mostly a Melitza, right? And not just because they believe in Atzmo Shalmeis, but even where there's no din of Atzmo Shalmeis, they're a little skeptical. The default is not, you know, that it's Tumas Meis, you know, Gemura, you know, unless you prove otherwise. It's more like, you know, an initial the default skepticism. Cherev Kachalal is a very Mechudash Halacha. You know, where it applies, namely in Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, in levels it applies. The Tosefta Taharos, you know, is the ultimate conceptual statement about it and practical statement about it. And, you know, then you have to try to figure out which dinim depend on level and which dinim, you know, again, are there only two categories? The Ramban, I believe, is somewhere much more ambivalent in the middle, where he's just really not sure, you know, and I think, you know, that a lot of it has to do with, you know, these issues. On the one hand, he's trying to figure out, you know, which dinim depend on Atzmo Shalmeis, which dinim depend only on the Madregos, and which dinim depend on something else. Again, either Chefza Shel Tumas Meis, or a Tuma that is still associated with, if Agav, the Meis itself, or as opposed to a Chalos, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's kind of playing with that. He's both playing with what Cherev Kachalal can be, and what some of these categories really depend on. And I think, you know, we'll see that in just a minute when we read whose question.
Yeah. What does Rebbe get from that the recent poem is more minimalist? Like, the only evidence we have that he disagrees is on the Klishetov point. Like, he doesn't say anything else besides
right.
that.
I guess the point is that all the put it this way. I'm not 100% sure, and it could be that I'm associating him more with the Rambam. But what I do think is that all the Bali Tosas gang up on the Rima Simpon based on, they're saying to him, well, if that's the case, how come Lazar is Megaleach? And how come there's Gimel, you know, Vizayan? I mean, the questions that they're all asking against him, against Rima Simpon, assume that he mostly agrees with them. And I think the answer is that he would say to him, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Whoever said that there is Gimel Achnazir, whoever said that there is Gimel Bezayin, whoever said that there's Tumas Kohanim. So that, I guess in being the Yashiv.
The Ramban above Abbasar does seem to expand his position and say, if you hold Klishat, that you can't hold Ohal, you can't hold Nazir, you can't. So he,
yeah, so that I think is also, that we're talking, I want to mention that also. I did mention it last time, but I want to just repeat that again. I think it's a very intriguing thing. You know, in the things that I listed as, you know, Nafkamina, where we have this argument, there are like eight of them, right? I left out the question of Matachas and Klishatev and so on. So is that just like a separate argument? You know, and let me say also about the Chibah. Everybody agrees about the Mokar of the Chibastim, as we noted last time, right? But, you know, there are people who quote it all the time and think it's important, you know, and there are those who think, yeah, but it's Kharav Kachalo. Are there two dinim or one din? Or, you know, is it, once you know Kharav Kachalo, let's say in Avi Avos HaToma, right, is the Chibastim just a Megala, you know, that we're, you know, we continue to apply that din? Right, and then there are maybe Rabbeinu Chananel, other people who maybe we even apply it to Rishon b'tumah and tumas meis, or maybe even to a tvul yom, you know, of tumas meis, right? Right? Or are you like, you know, the chibastem, you know, that's a chiddush too, and you know, so and the chibastem is different. You don't have the language of Karav Kachal, by which I mean, is the question? There are two questions I'm raising. How you treat the chibastim is relevant. I believe it doesn't have to be, but I believe that it likely is. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Rambam, let's say, always brings it up, and the Bali Tosas usually ignore it. And that's because the Bali Tosas think that Cherev Kecholal is about superconductivity, or it's about Hareza Kenogeya Bemeis, right? So, you know, it works the same way. It's the same. But if you think that Cherev Kecholal is this unbelievable Kiddush, even once we know it, and it also is limited because it's not Chafetz Shomeis, and it's just the Darga and so on, right? Then, you know, saying it for Avi Avos and saying it for... maybe there are two different dina. That's one. The second issue is the Kli Mateches versus Shetef and Or and all those things. And that is, again, you could have said that this is like a separate argument. You know, which Kalim are subject to this Kiddush of, you know, Bechera Reo Kachalo. And if you still want to say that there's a more expansive, you know, list of nafkamina, you know, connection to other things, maybe that has to do with navigating the evidence. By which I mean, like, if you think that, you know, there's only Klimatechas is subject to Bechera Reo Kachalo, so for example, you know, the two Mishnayos and Nazir, you know, become, you know, you have, there's only one way to kind of to, you know, then the second one is a case of, you know, Klishetef, and the first is omitted. That's one way, but if it's all, you know, no difference between Mateches and anything else, then the Kalim are mentioned in the second Mishnah, and they're mentioned in a way that there's no Giluach Nazir, and it turns out in the Gemara there's no Gimel V'Zayin and so on. So there is a connection between your view of which Kalim are included in Cherev Kachalal and the scope and the application of the Dinim and everything that goes with that, but for technical reasons, right? Because of, you know, your flexibility in reading the evidence as such, and you have to be makabel the evidence. You know, so once you accept one, there's going to be a consequence, not a coincidence. Or is it more than that? Is it the idea that if it's, you know, if it's one kind of halacha, then why shouldn't it apply to all kalim? And if it is more a kind of a, you know, conductivity kind of thing or whatever, I'm not saying because metal conducts, I don't know, I'm not sure, but the idea of limiting it to certain kind of kalim, you know, is a way also of maybe justifying more, you know, how you can have that. So I think of that as an important. question too. Okay, having said that, so let us just look quickly just at some of the different mentalities. So the Rambam, again, we'll go through, I don't know if we'll finish today, we'll need another 10 minutes on Sunday, but the Rambam is very complicated. In the Pirush Mishnayos part, you know, we already get the impression, as I said, that Kerev Kechalal is about the Madregos. Again, he likes the Tosefta in Olos in the beginning of Zakdama Tekelim, you know, to Taros. In Olos itself, he talks about, you know, not Kerev Kechalal or Kenogea Bechalal, but as Shaveh. As we already noted, he counts, when he wants to count how many Avos, you know, there are in Tumas Meis, he counts Kalim as separate, and he counts both Kalim as separate. Right? In other words, again, the Chibatzta. He has, you know, the Kli that's Nogea, you know, the Meis, and he has the Kli that's Nogea to the Tnei Meis. Right? And that's significant. There's another line, I was just looking again, in the Hagdamah to Taros, you know, to before Kalim, the Rambam also has a line where he says that Cherev Kechalal is like Ohel Ameis. He compares it to the Ohel. Again, no one thinks Ohel is Chev Teshel Meis. You think it's a mechanism, or it's a Madrega, or it's, you know, it's something that transmits the Darga of the Tumah. And I think that is significant. In Yad HaChazaka, there are some, you know, internal complexities. What's Drabanan, Doraisa, Divrei Sofer, what's he talking about? But there are some really difficult passages in the Rambam. But again, the idea that, you know, Cherev Kechalal, you know, is more limited, A. B, that certain dinim depend on Atzmo Shalmeis, and that, you know, the psukim themselves, in Pirush Mishnayos and Nazir, I should mention, the Rambam, you know, has that whole thing, where he says, if you look clearly in the Parsha and the Zeros, they don't talk about Tumas Meis. Right? They talk about... Did I write it down somewhere? I've written down the line. Let's see if I can find it quickly. They don't talk about Tumas Meis. Again, the same thing that Ramban says and others. They don't talk about Tumas Meis. They talk about... yeah, this is Pirush Mishnayos Dalet Gimel. Yeah, something Megala B'Tumas Shehein Atzmo Shomeis Shenemar V'Chiyamus Meis Alav B'Feta Pitom. That's the Nazir pasuk, right? Shelo Nemar V'Chiyitma LeNefesh. I think that's a great line. Again, earlier Mekoros have this too. The question is, how seriously do you take it? Is this a diuk, you know, or is it a conceptual, you know, statement? The chiyamus meisalav refers to atzmo shomeis. And the Rambam, again, in numerous places, speaks about it, basically Tosefta Taros, right? That atzmo shomeis is a category. That's different than the chiyitma lenefesh. That refers to the tumas meis, not atzmo shomeis. Okay. So the Rambam, I think, is very... So, and in Yad HaChazaka, we'll just leave that for a moment because I don't want to get stuck with that. I want to do the other things first. In Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam has very complex views, as we know, right? And he obviously struggling with, you know, this whole Drabanan Daraisa, Divrei Sofrim, Divrei Kabbalah. You know, some of the passages work into his general shita. Some still remain a little bit difficult. But what he's contending with is, like, how do you formulate this kind of in-between, you know, status? But he does. Maybe there's a difference between Nazir and other things, right? That's the double Yirayli in Ochos Nazirus. You know, again, the end of Tumas Meis, Paragimel Tumas Meis, Paragimel Ochos Bias Mikta. If you look at them all together, it's one big, subtle struggle. Okay. We'll try to, you know, pin it down a little more, obviously. Pirush Mishnayos is pretty clear. And then you see in Yad HaChazaka, it gets battled out, like he keeps, you know, changing his formula. When people change their formulation, especially if they say, you know, things that are especially somebody like the Rambam, it's because they're struggling. They're struggling with an objective difficulty, namely, how do we explain Cherev Kechalal, you know, when sometimes it is and sometimes it's not, and sometimes, you know, it's something in between you know, being and not being. Right? The answer is maybe where you learn it from. Again, I mostly think, I'll go into the details, but I mostly think that this, again, when we learned Kiddushin a couple years back, when did we learn Kiddushin? 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
It seems longer, I guess. Shavuos was like so. We talked about Divrei Sofrim then. This is one of the Rambams that, you know, that we read then, correct? Namely, that is often understood, you know, to be referenced to a straight Rabbana. My view is that when the Rambam quotes, you know, when the Rambam gets, you know, embroiled in this whole issue, at minimum, or most fundamentally, what he's trying to say is that there are a hierarchy of dinim, and that the methodology of the limud, right, it matters. It doesn't. It's not always identical what it means. That if you ask the question, which is legitimate, and that's how most people ask this question, that's why they get stuck. Right? We get stuck too, but not as much. Most people ask the question, does the Rambam think that something that is learned from a drasha is drabanan or daraisa? If there's a single answer to that question, then you just have to, you know, acknowledge that there are total stiras all over the Rambam, okay, which is unacceptable. All over, like very explicit ones, from one page to the next. Right? My answer to the question is that the Rambam thinks that how you learn something out matters. It's not, you know, it's not irrelevant to the conceptual character or hierarchy of a halacha. Right? Probably everybody will say it's not irrelevant. I mean, it's the Rabbanu Shalom's will. There must be a reason. But is it unfathomable? B, does it have no consequences in terms of the halachic nature of it? Maybe there's some other reason, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe in Torah Sasod, it's there for that, right? Not according to the Avnei Nezer, though, right? Because it can't be. Yeah, because you have the integration. Okay, so the Rambam's view always is that if something is mefurish bakra, or it's derived from a drasha, there's a reason for it. Usually, now, is it always the same reason? I think you also get stuck, right? The answer is no. There can be numerous explanations, but it represents a kind of a hierarchy. It means that the Torah is trying to tell you, the halacha is trying to tell you something about the range of halachos in a certain area. So if there's kiddushei bia, kiddushei kesef, and kiddushei shtar, instead of saying it doesn't, you know, these are just interchangeable modes of creating ishus. They are halachically, but what the Rambam, my understanding is telling you is that you can approach ishus from three directions. Okay, from a, you know, from a nesuin kind of a standpoint. You know, from an intimate heterisha standpoint, you can approach it. You know, from a choshen mishpat standpoint. I'm not talking about the nature of your marriage. I'm talking about the ma'isa kiddushin, right? Or you can approach it from like an internal isha / you know, kinyan standpoint. And there also might be nafkamina. And even if there aren't nafkamina, it highlights something about the nature of ishus. And you know, it explains a lot. So. Here too, what the Rambam is struggling to say, a little partly for sure, is that you know atzmo shel meis, you know, is the Platonic form of meis, you know, and then there are all sorts of you know satellite, you know, tumas meises, and some of them are mefurish bakra, and some of them are derived from drashos, some of them from this kind of drasha, some that, more complicated yet. And again, I don't take the blame for this. This is just. The halacha and the Rambam. I'm happy to jump in and enter the fray, but I didn't make this up. The Torah uses different language, and the drushos of these different hierarchical, you know, avos of Tmei Meis are presented differently in Parshas Emor, in the Parsha of Nazir, in the Parsha of Bias Mikdash, in Hazaz Gimel Vezayin and Chukas. You know, how come Masa is mentioned here and it's not mentioned there? How come Ol is mentioned in this pasuk and not in that pasuk? Now again, the Rambam says that he's being medayik in the psukim and where the drashos are from. So does the Ramban, right? Well, we'll read the Ramban inside in a minute. Ramban in the Bava Basra and the Ramban in the Perish Al HaTorah. Right? They're making these diukim themselves because they're just right, incredibly, you know, insightful, astute, you know, Talmidei Chachamim. So That's why we're studying them. But the point is, what does it really mean? So, of course, there are diyukim that are giluye milsa that provide us with the conclusions. But what's also implied here, if you ask, step back and say, okay, here's the structure. Charef kachalol, 50%. Charef kachalol, 90%. Charef kachalol, 20%. Right? Or, for that matter, revias dam, or ohel, or golol v'dofek. We're not learning Tumas Meis now, but you get the idea. Why does this apply? And not everything's in a linear hierarchy either, right? There have been a time of the Ramban where they discuss the relationship between Giluach, Nazir, and Tumas Kohen, right? So this seems like Rabbeinu Tam, at least, is saying. One point, what he has him saying, is that, you can be Mechalik in either direction, even though there's a klal. And the Ramban says, huh? What kind of klal is that? But we'll get to it. Right. So the point is that all these diyukim, do produce facts, and the facts matter, of course. But when then you stand and look at the structure and you see the antinomies, the inconsistencies, but you want to make sense out of it, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our job, here in life, to make all this understandable so that, it becomes our foundation. So we have to, we have to think hard and work hard, to understand that there are different dinim, and that's really what's happening here. Okay. So the Rambam, in Pirsha Mishnayis, in a very subtle way, provides a very clear picture of what his orientation is. Any kli, right? It's shavda. It's not, it's not a clone. It's limited, maybe it's very limited. V'chibastem, it's like ohel, it's separate ovos. It's not a concept of clone. If you say clone, then maybe it's not separate ovos, right? Or at least it's not separate from itself. Kli for aviavos and kli, for av. Again, I will acknowledge that I'm just counting. You could say that. I'm just saying, but once the pattern, fits, the more likely it is that the individual strands are intentional. Okay, so that's the round. And then you go to Yidach Chazaka, it's a minefield. But the consistency within the minefield is the Rambam struggling. Maybe Nazir's a little different, maybe yes, but struggling with these categories and also connecting it to what's Mefurish Bakra, what's a Drasha, what's in this Parsha, what's in that Parsha, etc. Yeah? Do you have a question?
Yeah, how does Rabbi explain the Rambam and Shoresh Beis in light of what he talks about
that? I think that's what the Rambam means in Shoresh Beis. I don't want to get involved in that right now. You mean Divrei Sofer we're talking about?
What?
You're talking about Divrei Sofer in general?
Yeah,
this is part of that. I don't want to get involved in that now except, what I just said, which is I think that the Rambam, in Shoresh Beis presents most of his view. But it also needs to be augmented by what he does in Yad HaChazakah and what he does in his letters. I'm particularly impressed, again, going back to our Kiddushin days, but I don't want to go into details, with the Rambam's response to the Chachmei Lonil, who said to him, im kvar az kvar, if you really believe all, that Kesef is Midivrei Sofer, whatever that means, then why don't you think that Shtar is Midivrei Sofer? Right, because that's also derived from a drasha, and the Rambam's answer, which is perplexing, Ramban quotes it and says, "I don't understand what he means." But I think it's the yesod, that kind of confirms this idea, which is he says yes, because there's a different hierarchy, and the Gemara had Avamina, that shtar could be could be the best of everything, so that proves that even the maskana, that shtar isn't kesef, although this he doesn't say, but I could add, it isn't exactly Bia either, if you look at the language that he uses in Pirush Mishnayos and Sefer Mitzvos and Tshuva. So I think Shoresh Beis is basically telling you that things derived from a drasha are different than things that are not. He's not saying they're all drabana, right?
They're not mitzvos. He says it's not.
You may not count them in minyan of mitzvos because they don't. Maybe they're not the Platonic form, or they're part of a hierarchy, right? And what do you count in minyan of mitzvos, right? It's not inconceivable, for example, according to all, understandings of Torah Shebaal Peh, that you would make some of these, because they're applications, they're secondary example. But that's kind of... Okay. We need to get in the actual Rishon. So let's start with the Tosfos and Nazir, which I think is what we were up to. Noah, you want to just do it for us? Do I have it here? Tosfos and Nazir Nun Daled Amud Beis is much easier to read than the Rash Mishans in the beginning of Ohalos. I say it's a rougher text. If you look at the Rush, you know, on Ohalos, it's much closer to this. But this particular Tosfos and Nazir, you know, is just a very... It has also some material that isn't very good. Then I want to look at the Urayim, which is a more extreme manifestation of it, and then I will look at the contrast it with the Ramban, you know, the ambivalences, and then go back to the Ramban. Okay, so let's just do that. Okay, so what's the background here? Basically, we talked about it already. You have one Mishnah which says what?
Mishnah on Mandal itself, which imply that Kalim.
I mean, the earlier Mishnah. What is it? Memtes, right? The Mishnah Memtes on base has Dvarim Sheha Eilu Tumas on Nazir Megaleach, right? The important thing about that Mishnah is what's not on the list for our purposes, namely, Cherev is not Kli is not on the list. Okay, the fact that it's omitted, you know, is significant. One would think, correct? Then you have the second Mishnah Nun Daled, right, which is the Dvarim She'ein Anazir Megaleach Aleihem, but which you are Maza Gimel V'Zayin, correct? And that does include Kli. What's not clear is it the Kli of Cherev Kecholol? The Pashtus, if you didn't know anything else, you'd say it's the Kli of Cherev Kecholol. That's certainly how the Rimas Simpont read, it's how the Rambam read. You know, maybe it ends up being how the Ramban read. We'll see. Right? So they're, you know, very different. That's one of the consequences of that issue, the, you know, more practical consequences. So it sounds like, if you read it that way, that there's no Giluach Nazir on Cherev Kecholol. As far as Mazeh Gimel V'Zayin, right, the Mishnah leaves us, you know, we're in a little bit of a complicated place. Because on the one end, the Mishnayos have cases of Gimel V'Zayin B'li Giluach Nazir, so it's already two types of Tumas Meis already, correct? And you would have thought that Kli would be in that group. Maybe it is in that group, right? But on the Gemara, right, the Gemara itself says, what? There's no Gimel V'Zayin for Kli, right? That's the contribution of the Gemara here on Nun Daled Amud Beis, which means, so again, if that means the Kli that is not Cherev Kecholol, big deal. It's obvious, and it's obvious, and it's really not worth talking about. But if we're talking about Cherev Kecholol, so the Gemara's addition to the Mishnah is telling us that not only is there no Giluach Nazir, but there's no Gimel V'Zayin either. And then you have that other Mishnah again, a Nun. What is it? Vav Mudeis, right? Where you have the connection to Bias Mikdash, you know, VeKadasha, in both directions. It seems right. So we're never going to say but the connections to Giluach Nazir, not to Gimel V'Zayin. Okay, that's what we have. That's the background. So what does Tosfos say? Go ahead. Let's read it. We'll quickly, but I want to get the to see that we're not really making all this up. Go ahead.
Question mark,
right?
Yeah.
Meaning no way. Right? Okay. Good. Oh, now here's where Tosfos began. I just want to show, you know, how once you have a clear view, right, this influences, obviously, again, how do you come to your clear view? That's a fascinating question, you know. Again, if we could interview, we could find out better. And the answer probably also is that while there are patterns in the way people come to their legal conclusions, right, obviously, you know, wise, you know, thinkers don't always come to their conclusions in exactly the same way either, right? So, again, it's weighing global evidence, it's intuition, it's you know, it's Masora, you know, in the sense of precedent and influence. Whatever it is, once you do, once you've come to your, you know, bigger picture conclusion, you know, how does that impact the way that you read things or the way you look at other evidence? And then the ripples that come out of that, because if you're going to read that text this way, then it also includes some other thing. And that's how this is all infinitely, you know, that's why it's so dynamic, right, and exciting. Okay, go ahead. Shema mina ashar. Right. Tamashma. Oh, how do you know that? That we're talking about klishetef? Because, so again, this is already tos committed, meaning if it was klima teches, why would be there no hazah? Why would there not be any hazah? And why would there be no giluach nazir for that matter? So it's got it. So it's already, you know, the position that cheref kachalal is a very potent thing. Okay, so this is klishetef, and klishetef isn't now is not like, you know, we don't have to examine klishetef with a microscope. It's not an example of tumas meis. It's a rishon or whatever it is, right? It's just not it's not in the satellites even. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. So already, you'd read these words. These aren't factual. I mean, it's factual from the perspective of Balei Tosas. Not factual in the Gemara. That's not the way Rambam and Reis Simpont and Ramban. It's not the way they read the Gemara. Okay, keep going. Ibn Tomar. Oh. Right. So even the question again is an assumption. The question is based on assumption. So like, why did the Gemara have to be bedochak? They could have just said we're talking about that the Mishnah is talking about klima teches, because there it's a davar pashut that of course there is gimel v'zayin. Says who? Says Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. And then it gets reinforced on itself even more in the answer. Go ahead. V'yom Rabbeinu Tam. Here's now time to quote the Makar. Right? Yeah. So the answer, but again, it's all feeding on itself. Again, I don't mean it as a, that doesn't make it weaker. It makes it just, you have to understand where it comes from. Meaning, you can't say that the second Mishnah is Mateches. I mean, remember, there's no, think about it just objectively, right? I mean, there are two Mishnayas, and Kalim are mentioned only in one. You would think it's the Kalim, you know, that are relevant, that have Tumas Meis. That's what you would think, all things being equal. Anybody would think that. But then you have to think that they ain't Azar Megaleach, and then you get from there also to the conclusion that there's no Azar Skimel V'Zayin. If you think the overwhelming evidence, you know, wherever it comes from, right, is that Cheref Kachalal is something very elevated, right, then none of that can be. So you can't answer, you can't say, oh, you can't save the Gimel V'Zayin with Mateches, because you doom it to Ein Nazar Megaleach. That can't be. Why can't it be? It could be for the Rambam, it could be for the Ramban, it could be for the Rimi Simpont. Right? Okay, keep going. Yeah, that's some good stuff, right? So Reb Chaim Cohen challenged Rabbeinu Tam, right? What does he mean, Eza Bayis Asher Tivnu Li? Why not? So he's assuming a few things, right? Number one, the assumption is that whatever is true about Giluach Nazir and Gimel V'Zayin, right, is also true for Tumas Kohen. How do we know that? Maybe Tumas Kohen is a totally different category. So I mentioned there's a Brisa of Sechat Smachos, there might be a Tosefta, right? Okay. But the assumption, again, is that there's an equation. Chaim Cohen was assuming that there's an equation, right? And he's also assuming that, you know, that what? That there would be Tumas Oel, right? Okay. How do you know Tumas Oel? You know, Cheref Kachalal, default, it's everything. If default, it's everything. This is interesting about Reb Chaim Cohen, as we'll see in a moment, because that's an in-between shita. If it's default, it's everything. And if all kalim, you know, okay. If it's, yeah, okay. Dein Nazar Megaleach, who are dead. Go ahead.
Within the Kohanim's world,
yep. But so that any metal is going to be subject to Tumas Ohel, okay, and therefore is going to be going to be Nizar for Kohanim. So you're in trouble. Kiramim Masechet Tzmachos, right? Kol Tumas Shandazim Megaleach, Kohen Buzrelo. Okay. That's the Tosefta, which Rabbeinu Tam didn't want to hear so much about, but which the Rambam, you know, and Reb Chaim Cohen, right, are very excited about, because it limits this din. Yeah. So what's Reb Chaim Cohen saying? He's agreeing, right, that Cherev Kechal is only Mateches, but he's saying that Eina Nazir Megaleach Aleihen, right? If Ein, even though he does still think, so let's just make it clear, that what? That there is Tumas Ohel. Right? Otherwise he wouldn't have a problem. So there's Tumas Ohel Becherev Kechal Mateches, right? But there's not Nazir Megaleach. Okay. And what about Tumas Gimel, Tumas Gimel Vezayin? Well, not necessarily. But I'm saying that's a tricky thing a bit. I mean, what does he think that the second Mishnah is talking about? Any Kalim? Mm-hmm. Or that's not so clear at this point in Reb Chaim Cohen. Would Reb Chaim Cohen, you know, say that there's also no Tumas Gimel V'Zayin, or he would be mechalek between Nazir Megaleach and Tumas Gimel V'Zayin? Right. Okay. Okay. That's the next line. Okay. Behold the low. So what's he saying basically? That ein nazir megaleach klimateches, but there would be hazaskim of zayin. Okay, they don't go together, according to Reb Chaim Cohen. Okay, umishmaitin kasha. Where does it say that in our Gemara? Says Anogeh b'shar kelim, eino tamei ela tumas erev. There's such a line in the Gemara. The Bali Tosas had a different text. No. What's the answer? It says it in the Gemara. If you read the Gemara, like the Bali Tosas, namely, if. The only reason that there's no Gimel V'Zayin, remember, even Reb Chaim Cohen is now saying that there is Gimel V'Zayin for Klimateches. He's just arguing in more limited fashion on Giluach Nazir. So Giluach Nazir has to be dependent on something else. Right? Okay. So even though he is quoting, and again, he's quoting the Tosefta. So Tosefta doesn't, he's emphasizing one half of the Tosefta, not the other. Again, you can read the Tosefta, you know, saying two extremes. There's no Giluach Nazir and B'S Mikdash, and by extension also there's no Tumas Kohanim. Right? That's what Reb Chaim Cohen is saying. But that doesn't mean that all there is Rishon and Sheni. Because there is also Gimel V'Zayin and maybe even some other things. Correct? Whereas the Rambam and others are going to say it's two extremes. Correct? Okay. So now you get this. What's wrong with the recent the Rimi Simpon is contradicted by this Gemara. Why? Because this Gemara says what? That Shar Kalim. Where does it say that? All it says is that Shar Kalim don't have Hazas Gimel V'Zayin and Giluach. The Giluach part, Reb Chaim Cohen is saying even about Matachas, right? It says there's no Gimel V'Zayin. It doesn't say it's Tumas Erev. For the Balitosis, if there's no Gimel V'Zayin, then it's not Cherev Kachalo. I'm pretty sure that's where they get it. It's an amazing line. It doesn't say it, but it says it. Okay, go ahead. Right, Abkhani Kaki is suggesting such a dochik pshat that when the Gemara says that there's no Gimel V'Zayin, you know, according to me, it doesn't mean it. It means, you know, like v'chule, right? Wow. Okay. Keep going. Of a Rav Rabbi Yitzchak. This he does, if you remember, in Rosh also, yeah. Kesora Korach Basiv, Obeniyar. Korach Basiv, he's not really touching it. It doesn't matter. You can go a little quicker. What we want to get out of this, Alma, right? The chaimas, or whatever it is, chaimas, ka'adam, the nasis avatuma, letame, es a tanor. Okay? Who cares? He answers it's not klimatechas. So this is one of the rayas of the Rimi Simpon that, you know, that we do extend beyond klimatechas. Okay, go ahead. It's a chibur. That's what also the Rash says, right? Yes. That's where you get this other model. Oh, you know, there's something called chiburin in Tuma. Okay, go ahead. Whether that's Doraisa or Drabbanan, that's also a discussion. But okay. The Ode Hevi Raya. Right, in other words, Kalim, right, okay, yeah. Meaning Tmei Mace triggering, you know, the Kalim as an Avatoma. Okay, Tamba Lamar V'chibas then, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like begadim, that's not matechas. So that's pretty ingenious, but again, the pashtos, you know, both of those rayas of the Rimi Simpont are pretty good rayas. Again, if you're very, you know, convinced that it can't be so like Rabbeinu Tam, you know, then you can say, you know, it has to be this, it has to be that, right? The, you know, probability is a function of possibility, as we've said many times, right?
The more expensive you are with the definition of charev, the more limited you are with the material.
Say that again?
The more expensive you are with the
definition. I was saying that before. I think that's technically true because of the managing of the... That's what Adam was asking me before. So, yes, in terms of the evidence, as you can see from the two Mishnayos and Nazir and the Gemara here and so on, I believe also conceptually. Although I don't think it had to be that way, but I think the impression, we'll see in some Rishonim, certainly in the Ramban, the impression is that that's the case. Yeah?
Is there anything that the to be mechalik between mechubar versus non-mechubar kind of also necessitates that you have the conception of all tumas being essentially coming from the original source?
Meaning, put it this way, tumas chiburim definitely does that. I mean, again, in theory, that's an interesting chakira in tumas chiburim. Right, the pashtus is that what the yichus of chiburim is that it's connecting to the original source, and maybe not even just agav, you know, but it's even now in the present and more directly. In theory, you could say it's a more intense, you know, second level, you know, by virtue of the fact that it's presently connected. I mean, I don't think it's impossible to say that the chiburim is like a clone, but I think it makes more sense to say that it's an indirect negia, you know, in the makar. And I was, that's why I was saying that might cherev kachalo conductivity, you know, might have that mush, might have that, like, it's like a concept, like the chibur is still there. You know, I don't mean the electrons, I mean that. Right. But I do think you're right. I think mostly that's likely, and it's a great example of that concept, but I don't think it has to be that way. I think if you were, you know, forced to explain, you know, that there's no such thing, you would just say, well, this is a very intense, separate metame. I guess you'd have to see whether there are nafkamina between chiburim and the giyah betuma atzma, although that also could be explained quantitatively and qualitatively. But I agree with you, is what I'm saying. The short answer is yes. Not mukhrach, but I think makes a lot of sense.
So if that was true, that would be another example where Tosos's answer works better according to Tosos's sheet.
Yeah, 100%. Right. In other words, they're preaching to the committed already. I think that is true. Okay. Yeah, let's continue to get through this. I want to get through the Urim, and then I guess we'll leave Ramban's through the beginning of some of the Ramban's and Rambam. But again, we're already starting with the Nezikin stuff on Sunday also. Yeah, go ahead. But again, you see the whole Baalei Tosfos also are dealing with levels. I mean, again, this is a kind of like model of superconductivity and therefore the downgrading of the v'chibastem, frankly, you know, what they sometimes call the v'chibastem cases just karev kachalo. I think it's a gilui that we also say it on the level not only of aviavos but on the ab. I think that's the impression that you're getting, as opposed to somebody like the Rambam where, you know, this is unbelievable chiddush to begin with, and that it applies to the next level is a separate chiddush, a separate av, a separate makar. Okay, keep going. Harin kamohu, right? Again, that, you know, that's not shavelo, shav, I don't think. I think kamohu means, you know, it's a clone, or it's a, you know, it's like tumas meis, if it isn't, you know, or it's a negia bo agav, or one of these three models that I'm talking about. Go ahead. Yeah. Again, the language is very strong, you know, about this. It's a thing. Okay. Now you read the Urim. Do you have the Urim, or maybe Moshe, who's brought it to our attention? Do you have language of the Urim in front of you? Just very quickly, and then we'll stop, and we'll pick up with the Ramban and then the Rambam. You have it? Shin Chapes. You'll just see that it's you know, what do they say? It's Rabbeinu Tam, but on steroids. It's like, you know, I'm not sure I have it here somewhere. One second. Yeah, I do have it. Okay. You can start from, we'll do it quickly. The Cherev Shenitma B'Neis. By the way, before that, he's talking about Golov Dofek, right? And in the context of explaining the limitations of Golov Dofek, so he explains, you know, that it depends how you understand what the words porshos min ames mean. Right? Shalomi gufa shomes? Or does it mean something else? And that's part of the yesod here. Because if golav adofek is different because it isn't chepta shomes, no matter what other stature it has, you know, then why is cherev kachalal any different? It's also not chepta shomes. Right? So that's kind of a little bit the background, you know, that you have to deal with. Like, he's just made a push to explain Gola and Dofek, and in light of that, he's put more pressure on Cherev Kachalo a little bit. Right? Moshe? Okay, so go ahead. Hit it from there. Cherev Shenitma B'meis.
Cherev Shenitma B'meis,
So he starts right away, because this is what, again, this is the background. Right, I just explained that there's a difference between Chefta Shel Meis and Tumas Meis, or you know, these satellites. So what do you do with Cherev Shel Meis? It isn't Gufa Shel Meis, right? Yeah. The answer is, yes it is. Okay, so that's a strong line. Again, when I was answering Shua before, I was trying to explain, you know, what I think the Urayim might mean. Because I think, you know, no matter how much conviction, you can't say that a Cherev is Gufa Shel Meis, right? But I do think that you can say that what you get from Gufo Shel Meis, you know, whichever of those models that we said before, you know, is applies to Cherev, even though it doesn't apply to Golov Adofek, and it doesn't apply maybe to Ol HaMeis or to other things. Okay? That's really, this is a key line that I wanted to bring in, and especially because of how, yeah, go ahead. The Kohen Muzar Alein, right? He thinks it is. Right? We'll see in Rabbeinu Tam there are different versions whether Cohen is really Muzar Alein. Reb Chaim Cohen, we know, thinks not, because it's not Davar Shem Shemigaleach Benazir. But for Rabbeinu Tam, you know, in Urayim is a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam, or Lazar Mimitz, a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. So Cohen is Muzar Alein because it's Migaleach. Go ahead. Sharei.
Sharei is the doctation Muzar Migaleach Alein.
Oh, what does Kliyates have to do with anything? It says somewhere Kliyates. So I'm just trying to show what happened. This is even more than the Tosas. Instead of saying, you know, Kerev Kcholol applies even in Giluach Nazir. Right? Because it's got to be that way because it's Kerev Kcholol. Right? The Urayim goes on the attack. He's on the offensive. Says, you can prove that Cherev Kachal applies to Giluach Nazir. It's not in the Mishnah. The answer is because the Gemara, you know, when it talks about the second Mishnah, it's talking about Kliyates. Don't say that anywhere. It's only Kliyates because you think that Mateches, you know, doesn't fit in. Right? Keep going. The Ika. I'm sorry. Is it going? How's it going? The lo mukila bikli, my photocopy can. The mukila midlo mukila bikli matechas the ika. Yeah. Because of ein nazir megaleach, it can't go in that mishnah, but that's because he's already committed to that view. Right, so that's a proof now that it is Megaleach. Like it's everything turned on, got turned on its head. Okay, now the big question. Go ahead, Baha. So why isn't it in the other Mishnah? Like Bali Tosa didn't address that question, but for the Urayim, who's like even more aggressive about this, you know, it's a very good question. So what's the answer going to be? Yeah, the answer is don't ask me such a silly question, right? Why do we need to waste the ink? But that's an amazing. You can say, oh, there are other things that they left out, but and how can, what do you mean Hareu Kachalo? You know, the Bechalal Meis Ninu. Yeah, because he just said before, you know, that even Golov Adofek isn't Atzmo Shel Meis, but Cherev Kachalol is. Right? That's such a good piece. Go ahead. Teda. Go ahead. It's also fascinating because Bali Tosas don't generally enter this part of the debate. Go ahead. The Perek Sheni B'Mesechas Alos. Well, so again, look what happened here. It's obvious, right? In the second parak of Alos, what they have? You know, they talk about Oel and Maga and Masa, and they left out Cherev Kachalo. right? But it can't be because it doesn't apply. Can it? I mean, maga maybe, but the masa and the ol, we know that the masa is debated. The Ramban isn't so sure about it. The Rambam thinks it's actually not. Right? The ol is, you know, the whole discussion of the Ramban. So, you know, it because it's not in the Mishnah there, that proves that it's so pashut that you don't need it. The other Rishonim will tell you it's not in the Mishnah there because it doesn't apply. Okay, go ahead. The Milsa the Pshitahi, right? The Kerev Kecholo. Bein Nitma b'maga meis. Bein Nitma b'ol. Right? Definitely not Pshita. If Ramban is Cholek, it's not Pshita. Okay? The Raya Lacha. Yeah?
The Raya Lacha, when he said it's all those, for the regionals, it's not. Amar Bikiva, Yeshe, Famisha, Shibut, Shutchol, Ba'ol, Amis, Ba'ol, Ba'shipa, Ba'adam, Anoge, Ba'shibut, Ba'kelem, Ba'adam, Tzvein, Tumas Shiva, Ba'adu,
Ba'kelem, Shinim, Ba'ol, okay. Yeah. So that's, you have to contend with that raya. Okay, it's not, that's Ramban's problem right now, not ours. But at least he had Tadalak because he understood that it wasn't so pashut. Okay, the ode. Is that a good raya, Moshe?
I wasn't really so sure about this case.
It's not a good raya at all. What he's saying is the Gemara, when it darshans the part of the pasuk that it darshans to teach you, cherev kachalo, right? Part of that pasuk also mentions and is talking about, you know, ohel and other drashas. I mean, it doesn't say at all that Cherev Kechalal is Ohel. The same Pasuk that is talking about Ohel is talking about Cherev Kechalal, and therefore Cherev Kechalal applies to Ohel? What? I mean, again, if you think, you know, that all this is true, so maybe it's a... Okay, keep going. Hilkach, you can call him Lehizayir, wow. Right? Letamid Becherev Shenoga B'meis, Oba Ola Meis. Nice. You can see this is a very, like you see from Reb Chaim Cohen already, this is like not a simple matter. Right? In the Ramban, Rabbeinu Tam is Mechalik. There's a different tradition to Rabbeinu Tam, but he's Mechalik between, you know, Tumas Kohanim, everything. We'll talk about that when we read the Ramban. Not so Pasha. This is a more extreme view of Rabbeinu Tam that the Urayim is embraced, but he anyways goes more extreme than Rabbeinu Tam. As you can see, the whole piece. Okay, go ahead. The yesh limtzot takana. Go ahead. B'tumas karev. Perik orva rotev. And Gemara Chulin calls it parshos min ames. But really, it isn't parshos min ames. So he's saying you could have said, just like Golo Vadofek is not Etzem Shomei, so Kli is not Etzem Shomei. A very reasonable position to take. Position of many Rishonim. Right? However, go ahead. So therefore, Mahu Dami Yesh Lahatir Tumas Matechas. Meaning Rabbeinu Tam spoke. I know you could say otherwise. But this is an amazing extension. You know, number one, it's clear about Tumas Kohen. In Balei Tosas, you have Rav Chaim Cohen asking against Rabbeinu Tam, but it's not clear what Rabbeinu Tam says about that. Right? Other reports are that Rabbeinu Tam said, yeah, but not Tumas Kohen. Then he asked, what do you do with the Mish? What do you do with the, you know, Masechet Smachos and the Tosefta? It equates them, and then you have, well, we'll get to that in the Rambam. I just wanted to show that the Urayim is an even more extreme view of Rabbeinu Tam. But the whole Balei Tosas, if you look at Tosas on Nazir earlier, in Gimel and in other places, are Tosas here in Bava Kamma. Right? Who else could ask this question of, you know, Kiyotze Do, right? Now, it's also interesting that, again, when Artos is asked Kiyotzeba, I think I mentioned, I think there are a few assumptions, or a few like opposite assumptions. Number one, you could have said, Cherev is so kechalol that it's like, it's an av, not a tolda. Tolda same Kiyotzeba. Right? At the same time, you could have said it's not really Kiyotzebo, it's just that the chalos, you know, there's a chalos called, you know, Kerev Kechalal. Right? But I think, again, Tosas does think, you know, that this isn't just a, this isn't Mishkav Azav. This is like some sort of conductivity, whatever. It's contact with the mace, Agav, the Kerev. You know, it's like, again, all these things, all these models that we're talking about, so it's kind of a tolda. Like, I don't think, like, the Rambam, he would agree to count it as separate avos. So it's kind of a tolda, ironically, or understandably, right? It's not just the genesis of it, you know, it's direct. It's kind of a tolda, and it's really pretty kiyotzebo, too. Ad kadekach, that maybe the answer is, you know, it doesn't work for Kalim. Maybe it doesn't work for Kalim because of the Kalim Shneim can't be makabel from there. It's too like-minded. Okay, there's enough gemina. Maybe that's enough. That's all he needs. But the Rambam and the Ramban, they wouldn't have asked this question to begin with. Chaim Cohen, I'm not sure. Okay, stop here. I do want to finish up the Rambans and the Ramban, but I do want to start also in earnest next time with the main lever.